what I have to share, actually, is something I shared on a Tuesday service a little while ago. It was intended for this service, but last time I didn't have time because the service went on for so long. I had to bail out on that one. If you could turn to John 15. This is kind of just backcloth reading. Excuse me. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I remain also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Now, this is one of the passages that just reminds me of how much we need to be near Jesus. How much we need his presence in our lives. Why? Because Jesus said. I wonder how much we believe it. He said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Anything we do apart from Jesus, without being in fellowship with him, counts for nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I just pray that we can just feel the truth of that and seek to not be apart from him, but constantly close to him. I want to focus on the word presence and talk about how vital his presence is for us as individuals and for us as God's people together. So where do we find his presence? What does his presence mean for us? Some interaction now. Where do we find his presence? Yes, as we read the word of God. We find him there, waiting to speak to us. It's God breathed. He continues to breathe. He continues to speak through his word to us. And we encounter him. We encounter his presence. Where else? When we pray, the place of prayer. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. There I am. With you. And in us as believers, you know, sometimes just getting close to someone who's at one with God brings you closer to God as well. You see the evidence of God's presence in people's lives. It draws you closer to him. I think I shared an illustration of somebody who I sat next to who actually wasn't totally aware of what was going around them, but they were aware of Jesus in their lives, and I just sense the presence of God with them. I just love just sitting there next to this person. You know, I sense the presence of God.
One of the people I'm discipling, we were looking at that verse. It's just, there's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of that's there's two presences there. There's Christ in us, and the hope of glory, which is glory, which is the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so Christ is in us, and there's the hope of a greater presence.
Around us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we meet with him in the word, in prayer, amongst each other. But where else can we meet him?
Service. Through service.
In serving, yes, because he stands with us. He's a serving king, isn't he? He shares what we do. In fact, everything we do, it needs to be something that he does in us. You know, he does through us. And we can know his presence there. But where else? In our worship, he inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah? And worship does bring us closer to God, doesn't it? That's the intention of worship, to focus our eyes on him and experience him, encounter him. Where else do we meet him? Yes, you got it. Everywhere, anywhere, everywhere. Yeah. He's everywhere. We just need to want to be in his presence. We're as close to him as we want to be. And that's the truth. If we want to be in his presence, he's there for us. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So we can find his presence anywhere. You know, some people, especially if they're young Christians, they think they're so reliant on being in church on Sundays and what have you, and they forget that they have access. He's everywhere. He's at the school gate, he's in the workplace, everywhere. And just being conscious of his presence can transform our day. So, what do we find in his presence? Well, in his presence we find many, many things. One thing we find in his presence is peace. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Philippians 4:9 reads like this, and the God of peace will be with you. And his peace is that indescribable peace that you can't explain to others. They can see it in you, because we're talking about how circumstances sometimes affect our lives this morning. And the ones who are enjoying the presence of God are not affected by the circumstances around them. They can withstand things going wrong, challenges coming their way, because there's this indescribable peace that comes from his presence in our lives. So it's not circumstances, but who encircles you. The one who encircles you that matters. As well as his peace and his presence, we can access his power. I was reading, again, an encounter in the Bible for me. I was reading Luke chapter 8, and the account of the woman with the issue of blood that touched his hem. And it reads like this. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, this is the first bit, Jairus' leader came to fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. And then as Jesus was on his way, the crowds were crushing him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me. His power flows out of his presence. And it's his presence we need first, not just his help. When we know his presence, his power is available to us. If we seek his power without his presence, we're going to be frustrated. We need his presence so we can touch him if we want him to see his work and his power around us. The word for someone who needs the touch of Jesus, touch of healing, touch of deliverance, whatever it is, focus on seeking him, his presence. Find him. Get close to him. Touch him so he can touch you and bring healing to you. Peace, power. We also need his presence in order to find our rest. God promises his people rest and accompanies, his presence actually accompanies, is accompanied by his rest. Exodus 33:14 reads, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When you know he's with you, you can set your heart at rest. That's where your peace is, where your rest is. And of course, Jesus said, didn't he? Come unto me. All you who come to me, get close to me. Come into my presence. And I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. So if you're restless or wearied with life's challenges, find him. Seek his presence. Lay your head on his shoulder. Find your rest in him. Elsewhere we read in 1 John 3:19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Our rest is in his presence and the largeness of his heart. So ours is not just a great big God, but he's got a great big heart. And in that we can find our rest and assurance. Peace, power, rest, and refreshment. Isaiah 55, 1. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Without money, without cost, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good. And you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear to me. Come to me. Listen, that you may live. Are you dry? Spiritually empty? He says, come to me. Seek my presence. Drink of me. Get your fill. As we reminded this morning, get your fill so you can flow out. And tonight we can all come. We can all eat. We can all drink of him, his presence. You can know his peace, his power, refreshment, enjoyment, joy comes from his presence. In his presence we find fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. The fullness that overflows that we were speaking again about this morning. In his presence we find peace, power, rest, refreshment, enjoyment, and shelter. Psalm 31:20 tells us, the shelter of your presence, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Our shelter, our refuge, comes from him, his presence, when we go to him. We don't ask him for shelter, we ask him to be our shelter. Revelation 7:15 says, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. So, you're not as vulnerable as you think. He's there for you, to protect you, to guard you, to keep you. In the shelter of his presence, you can claim the victory that is yours. So you can confidently say, if God is for us, or if God is for me, who can be against me? So we can know his peace and his power and his rest, his refreshment, his shelter, in his everywhere presence. Not just now, but forever. Why? Because he promises to be always with us. Jesus said in Matthew 28, and surely I am with you, always, to the very end of the age. And that means that our future is secure. Because we are assured of his presence. Yeah? It's been said, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. The one who wants to hold our hand and be with us. We can know his presence. And in his presence, his peace and his power and his rest and his joy and his refreshment and his shelter. And that gives us confidence. And why do we have confidence that he wants to be in our presence? Because we know his name. His name's Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. He's revealed himself as the one who wants to be with us. He came to us that we might know him and dwell in his presence. And that fills us with confidence. We need his presence. Let's avoid being in his absence. You know, Moses, in Exodus 33, knew of this very well, and he said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us off from here. And whatever it is that God is asking us to do, we cannot do it without him. We don't do things without him. You know, when was the last time you said to the Lord, I'm not going to do this, Lord, until you show that you're with me in this? He doesn't mind us saying that. He delights in us saying that, actually. Knowing all this, can you imagine life without him in his absence? Or worse still, an eternity without his presence. That's what hell is really like, you know? To be without him forever. You know, whenever God removed his presence or cast people out of his presence, the outcome was always disastrous and the experience hellish. Just read the Bible. Let's be careful not to offend him and have him remove his presence from us or remove us from his presence. And sadly, church can't be done that way, and too often is done that way. Tim will remember this from Alpha. There was an article in Private Eye. It said this. The headline was, God to leave the Church of England. Following the precedent set by leading former Anglicans, God has indicated that he too is to leave the Church of England. Friends of God believe that the issue of women priests was behind the Almighty's sudden decision to convert to Rome. According to sources close to God, he's been unhappy for some time with the direction the Anglican Church has been taken, and has now finally had enough. A Church of England spokesman said, losing God is a bit of a blow, but it's just something we're going to have to get used to. I was done in jest. But, you know, it's very serious. You know, why are so many people going to church and coming out totally unaffected? Because Christ's not there. The presence of God is not there. They're so busy doing church, they forget who church is all about. I believe in the primacy of presence above preaching. If God isn't there, it's a waste of time preaching. His presence is what we need. In his presence, we and others can know his many, many blessings, his peace, his power, his rest, his refreshment, his shelter, everywhere, forever, because of who he is. I want to end with a very precious thought. The one who we need, the one in his presence we need to dwell and to live and to do life, actually longs to be in our presence. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? The one we desperately need to be in the presence of wants to be in our presence. Luke 15. Remember the stories of the lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep? Demonstrated the heart of God, not giving up, wanting to, an all-out search to find and to bring home those that have gone away, that have stepped out of his presence. And as Tim reminded us earlier, Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And Jesus is standing at the door. He's always standing at the door. Don't leave him out there. He misses you. If you sense the distance from God, he hasn't moved. He's still there. And he misses you. And he wants to be in your presence. He knows where you live, as it were. He knows where your heart is at, what you're treasuring. And he wants to remind you tonight that he is your true heart's treasure. He is the most precious one. His is the relationship that is primary. It's the most important relationship. As we remind this morning, the most important relationship we have is with him. And he longs for that fellowship with us. Don't leave him standing at the door knocking. And his desire for our presence has an eternal perspective. I often read this at funerals. I'm going to read it again tomorrow at a funeral. John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He wants us with him, not just for now, forever. That you also may be where I am. He's making sure there's a place for you, prepared. But he wants you to enjoy that relationship, that intimacy, this side of the grave, not just beyond. He can't have enough of you. And that's the problem. He doesn't get enough of us. Yeah? He wants more of us. But we need to have more of him. So let's go some way to redeeming that situation, redressing that situation by turning to him and touching him, telling him that we love him and long for him. Amen.